Well, maybe for posterity, we should say that it's the morning after the elections. One of my fellows comes over to me at the 6 o'clock meeting and Shul says, Rabbi, maybe today we shouldn't say Tachnun. So I said, listen, we can be happy and we'll say Tachnun also. But there was more talking this morning in Shul than I remember in years. In years. All of the guys are politicians. Huh?
Happy.
Yes, absolutely.
But I heard that every over victory celebration was in Har Nof.
And my boys didn't tell me. We were campaigning for Olmert. There was a letter out there from my community calling to vote for Olmert and for the Mavdal Sea King to Har Nof. Ah, I think I'm going to have to. Well, one of his first parlor meetings was at Harvey Douglin, as a member of our shul. One of the first parlor meetings on behalf of Olmert. Alright, we've become guys of politicians. Right? Maybe I should tell Narmat they better watch themselves. We're going to tell Porush that we want this building. That's all. Right then, I should keep paying good money over here for rent. We'll just take over the building. That's all. Alright, we strike that from the record. Let's begin. So right, I have to sign a contract with them today for the year. I better watch myself. Let's begin Perek Ted Zion. Perek Ted Zion is say it's the great Mahapach. Is that the word that's in today? The torch is going to be passed. And I think that we have to take a closer look at everything that is said in this perek and what's not said in the perek. I'm going to try and live through the perek with you. Again, we had already begun the perek. Go through again. Ted Zion, 16. God said to Shmuel, Ad matay atam et habel el Shaul, how long are you going to mourn for Shaul? Vani ma'astiv mimloch al Yisrael, and I have disdained him from being king over Israel. Malei karnech Hashem, and fill your horn with oil. Leich eshlochacho Yishai beit halachmi, and go, I will send you to Yishai of Bethlehem. Ki ra'iti v'banav li melech, because I have seen amongst his sons a king unto me. The Radak says, and I believe we have to sense what's happening over here. He is going to be anointed with oil that comes from a keren, a horn. Says that our doctor following, Lifi Shahayah Keren Azem Zuman Lish Lim Sharbo Malchei Beit David, from the time that the Mishkan had been built 400 years earlier, somewhere in the Mishkan they had put away oil with which the king of Beit David is going to be anointed. We're talking about something that Klal Yisrael may have been waiting for at least 400 years. I would say most probably the world had been waiting for it. There's a famous medrash. You most probably heard it in one way or another when we were children. At the beginning of Bereshit it says, Zez Sefer Toldot HaAdam, this is the book of the history of man. Yom Vero Elokim Adam, on the day that God created man, Bidmut Elokim Asauto, God made man in his image. Says the medrash the following. This comes to teach us Shehevir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lifnei Adam HaRishon Et Kol HaDorot. God showed Adam HaRishon, first man, he showed him all of the generations, all of history. Because the Pasuk is saying, Zez Sefer Toldot HaAdam, this is the story of man, all of history. And then it says, on the day that God created Adam, he shows him all of history. Hereihu David, and as he's showing Adam HaRishon, first man, he's showing him history, he shows him David. Chayov Chakukim lo shalosh sha'ot. 3 hours had been set aside for his lifespan. He's going to die 3 hours after he's born. Am alafon of Adam said before God, Rebbeinu Shalom, lo tehi takona lezeh, is there no way to correct this situation? Am God said, kach ol tamach shavol upanai, this is the thought that has come before me. Amalo, so Adam says, Kama shnei chayai, how many years do I have to live? Amalo, God told him, Elef shanim, you have 1,000 years. Amalo, so Adam says to God, is there such a thing as matana barakiyat? Does God give gifts? Amalo, God said yes. Amalo, so Adam says to God, shivim shanam ishnotai yihyu lamazal zeh. Let that fellow, David, let him have 70 of my years. Ma also Adam, what did Adam do? He brought a document, and he wrote a document of a gift. He wrote, I give 70 years to David. V'chatam olav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, matatron v'Adam. God signed, matatron, one of the great angels of heaven signed, and Adam. So that means, I imagine it's like over here, you need two guarantors, two Arevim, without two Arevim, and I imagine afterwards, Adam Rishon was probably stapled it, and put bulim on it, yes, and banged on it, to make it a real document. Adam said before God, Rebbeinu Shalom, Yafut Zu, this beauty, Malchut Uzmirot Halalu, this kingdom and this song, Netunot Lo B'Maton, I give him a gift for 70 years, Sheyichye, he should live V'Yehei Mezamei Lefanecha, and he should sing before you. So the Medrash says that in a sense there was no time left for David to live. What this really is another link in the unusual chain of Malchus Beis David that we have talked about in the past. That Malchus Beis David survives by a hairbreadth. In the ensuing story, there are going to be so many moments at which it seems as though Shaul finally has David. And David is finished, and he makes his way out by a hand breath. Where does it begin earlier? The first is when Tamar is carrying twins, and Yehuda says she should be taken out and burned at the stake. And as she is being taken to her death, she says, I am pregnant from the one to whom this staff and this signet ring belongs. And at the very last moment, it's Yehuda who says, Sotka, she's right, Mimeni, I am the one. So here it was, she's carrying the Zeda of David and Malchus Beis David. And it's just a moment before she might have been put to death, which would have sounded the death knell for all of history. Because David is supposed to come from her, and Moshiach is supposed to come. David has problems, and Malchus Beis David and Moshiach have problems, not only on the mother's side, but on the, rather not only on the father's side, but on the mother's side too. What was it in Parshas Lech Lecha? In Parshas Lech Lecha it begins. Right, but even before that, there's a struggle between the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Avram, and it reaches the point where they have to split. Avram says to him, go to the right or to the left. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. They are separated. They are torn asunder. And who goes with Lot? You know who goes with Lot? With Lot goes Malchus Beis David. Ruth is supposed to come from Lot. Can you imagine the angels in heaven as God is getting ready to rain down death and destruction on Sodom? So it says that the Malachim began to hurry Lot out quickly because lest you will be destroyed here. Do you know who would be destroyed? David, Malchus Beis David, and Mashiach. And just at the nick of time, they're out of the city and the city is destroyed. Yes. That's why I'm giving you all of the examples of the hairbreadth by which Malchus Beis David stands. So we have it with Lot, we have it with Tamar, we have it with Ruth. Ruth marries Boaz, and the morning after the wedding, Boaz dies. But there was enough time for her to become pregnant and give birth to Obed, who gives birth to Yishai, who gives birth to David. No, you're asking, what does the Medrash mean, Tach also b'machshav lefanai? This is the thought that I had. Unless, of course, what he's telling, what the Medrash is telling us is that while it may seem at moments in history as though the possibility of salvation for the world is disappearing, it's diminishing, things look dark and look black, Malchus Beis David and Mashiach can be saved and rise in just a moment of time. That's what the Medrash is saying. It will look dark, it will look bleak, it will look as though there is no Malchus Beis David, it will look as though there's not going to be a Mashiach. And then all of a sudden, David gets 70 years, Tamar is not put to death, Lot and his daughters make it out of the city just in time, Ruth becomes pregnant from Boaz, and all of the examples that we're going to have of David just making it by the skin of his teeth, time and time again. What we have to see over here is not the danger, but that Malchus Beis David always emerges from the danger. That means that therein lies the strength of God's commitment that there will be a Malchus Beis David and a Mashiach. There's always a silver lining to the cloud. You can't give up hope. You can't give up hope, because one does not know from where the Yeshua is going to come. You never know. And in Malchus Beis David, it always invariably is going to happen. The only thing is, as we live through the period of darkness, it gets very, very difficult. It's extremely difficult. What the Medrash is saying is, you have to have faith. It's so. It's guaranteed. And if it's guaranteed, it will happen regardless of how things seem. Alright, so here we're, Malchus Beis David is about to begin, and there it was for 400 years. There's been a horn with oil waiting there for somebody to come one day and take it. And God says, Malei Karnach HaShemen, says the Radak. I started reading the Radak. Lefi Shehoyah HaKeren Azeh Mezuman, this Keren had been prepared, the horn had been prepared, Limshoach Malchei Beit David, to anoint the kings of the house of David. Va'al ha'atid hayam mizuman oto keren al pinavim. Can you imagine? All the prophets knew that it's there. You think it didn't occur to them? 100 years have passed and it's there. Will there ever come a moment at which God will finally say, use it? 200 years, 300 years, 400 years, and finally Shmuel is the one who hears God say to him, Malei Keren Kashemen, V'hoya V'oel Moed, it was in the Mishkan, in Klei Shemen HaMishkan, with the oil of anointment. So that a great thing is about to happen now. An event that's going to dramatically change the entire world. It may take a long time until we realize it. But this is exactly what is going to happen here. Who is the one that had prophesied it? Who, Beruach HaKodesh, knew that this was going to happen? Chana. Chana is the one who, at the end of her prayer in chapter 2 of Shmuel, she said, Hashem Yodin Afsayar, God will judge the very ends of the earth. V'yitain Oz L'malko, he's going to give strength to his king, V'yodem, and he's going to raise Keren Mishichel, the horn, the grandeur and the majesty of his anointed one. What she was saying then is that she understood that her son, Shmuel, is going to appoint a melech and anoint the Mashiach Hashem. He's going to establish two kings in his day, Shaul and David. Shaul is going to be melech, and David is going to be Mashiach, the anointed one. So God says, Malei Karnach HaShemen, V'leich Eshlachach Al Yishai Beit Halachmi, I'm going to send you to Yishai Beit Halachmi. The Medrash says, Beit Halachmi, he was called Beit Halachmi because Yishai was Ben Torah, he was a great Talmud Chacham. About Torah, it says in Mishlei, Lechu Lachamu Belachmi, go eat my bread. The bread of God, the staff of God, is Torah. According to the Gemara, Yishai was one of the greatest Jews living in his day, and here, Shmuel is being sent, go to Yishai of Beit Lechem. And Kiraisi Bebonav, because amongst his sons, I've seen Li Melech. I've seen somebody who is going to be a king unto me. As we pointed out last week, Shmuel is not setting out upon this journey with great joy. It's with an extremely heavy heart. He is still in a state of mourning for Shaul, and he's going to continue to mourn for the loss of Shaul. But it's a command. God tells him that he must go. Gemara is very fascinating over here. Gemara says the following. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, Zikna kofza olav. Shmuel became old before his time. Before his time. Why? Amar the fun of. Shmuel said before God, you have compared me to Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron did not see their handiwork, that which they had crafted and made, they didn't see that destroyed in their day. And now you want my great accomplishment, the fact that I was the one to establish the first king over Israel, that should be lost completely? You can't do that. Afani, I also, Shmuel says, lo yidbatel ma'aseh yadai, my handiwork should not be destroyed in my days. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said, what can I do? Yamut Shaul, that Shaul should die, and Shmuel Yenechani, he doesn't let me do it. Shmuel should die while he's young. People will say, why did Shmuel die that he was so young? So therefore, God made Shmuel old before his time. What's happening over here is the following, that Shmuel, in a sense, is feels that his life is over with Shaul having been removed from the kingdom. This was his great accomplishment, and he sees all of that lost. However, and this is something, an issue we may not yet deal with today, this is something we're going to have to deal with over the next few weeks. A problem that we just mentioned last week, and that is, why indeed is it necessary that David should already be anointed in the lifetime of Shaul? This is a problem we're going to have to deal with, and it's not going to be simple for us to arrive at a conclusion, because what's going to be created is an intolerable situation over the next few prakim. We're going to see two great men are going to be locked for all intents and purposes in mortal combat. We're talking about two gedolei Yisrael, two of the greats, Shaul and David. Terrible, terrible situation that's going to develop. It's of course because of this, since Shmuel is reluctant to go, he therefore says, Eich Eilech, how can I go? Vayomer Shmuel said, Eich Eilech, how can I go? V'shom HaShol v'haroguni. And we began to talk about this pasuk last week. Shaul is going to hear, and he's going to kill me. Vayomer Hashem, said God, tells him, Eglaz boko tika v'yadecho, take a calf in your hand, and you should say, Lizboach l'Hashem bati, I've come to bring a sacrifice to God. Eich Eilech, how can I go? If we listen carefully to the words Eich Eilech, it's not only for fear what may happen. In the words Eich Eilech, we also hear the mourning, the Avelut of Shmuel. Who else said something similar? When Yehuda is standing before Yosef and he's pleading on behalf of Binyamin, he says, Eich e'ele el ovi v'hanar einenu iti. How can I go up to my father and the boy is not with me? The Eich e'ele, how can I go up, or Eich e'lech, obviously, of course, Yehuda is saying, Eich e'ele, how can I go up, because he's going to have to be traveling from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, so he says, Eich e'ele. Shmuel, of course, is traveling from one place in Eretz Yisrael to another, so he says, Eich e'ele, how am I going to go? In the Eich e'ele, He's not merely asking a technical question. Listen, how can I go? Shaul is going to hear, he's going to kill me. In the Eich Eilech, we hear also the pain. Eich Eilech really means as though it can stand on its own. Let's take the Eich Eilech alone, and then Eich Eilech v'shoma shol v'haroguni. Eich Eilech, he's saying, how can I go on this mission altogether? He doesn't want to go on the mission. It may be, therefore, that's why the Abarbanel says the second part of what Shmuel says is really an excuse. The truth is, he doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to fulfill this command of God. He can't do it. How can I go? I am in mourning for Shaul. His excuse is, Eich Eilech v'shama Shaul, Shaul will hear v'haroguni, and I will go, and he will kill me. Are there any other reluctant prophets? Moshe and Yonah, told me out. Moshe, Eich Yishma'eni Paro, how is Paro going to hear me? He's reluctant, he also doesn't want to go. No, I'm not ready to put Esther into the same category. Not ready to put Esther in the same category. Because remember, the difference between Shmuel, Moshe, and Yonah, who also doesn't want to go, the difference between the three is they are the recipients of prophecy. Esther is already living in the twilight zone. Prophecy has already ended. There may still be Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, the last three prophets may still be living. But what's happening is that the long darkness of the Gullus of 2,500 years or more has already begun. And therefore the word of God is not that clear. Esther is one who has to grope on her own. She doesn't know what to do. She doesn't have the benefit of turning to a Navi and finding out what it is that God wants. That's why the Gemara asks the famous question about Esther. Why did Esther see fit to invite Haman to a party? And the Gemara gives, I think, 10 answers. There were all sorts of plans she had in mind. She was hoping to create some kind of jealousy between Achashverosh and Haman. She was hoping to make everybody in the court jealous for Haman, that Haman is singled out to be brought to the party together with the queen. She wanted Jews out there not to think that they have protection in the house of the king and therefore they need not pray. She didn't know what to do. She's groping. But here we have Moshe, Shmuel, and Yonah, who don't want to go. What is God's response? God's response is, "Vayomer Shmuel." Shmuel said, "Eich Eilech v'shama Shaul v'haroguni." Vayomer Hashem, "Eglas Baka Tikach v'yadecha v'amarta Yishit Seilus Bach l'Hashem Bati." I have come to bring a sacrifice to God. What's happening over here also, there's another very fascinating thing. And watch, it's going to become more clear as we go on to the next psukim. Call Yishai to the sacrifice for Anochi Odiacha et Asher Taseh. I'm going to let you know what you should do. Umashachta li, and you should anoint for me et Asher Omar Elecha, that which I shall say to you. I believe whenever we learn a prophet Tanakh, we always have to try to find a similarity of terms elsewhere. Asher Omar Eilecha. Go and anoint one Asher Omar Eilecha that I shall say to you. Where did you have that recently? Kachnas binchas yechidcha asher ahavta es yitzchak v'ha'aleihu la'ola al achad he'arim asher Omar Eilecha. We have it another time. In next week's Sedra, in Parshas Todos, there's a famine in the land, and Yitzchak wants to leave Eretz Yisrael just as his father had left when there was a famine. And God says to him, Shchon ba'aretz asher omar eilecha. You dwell in the land that I will tell you. In a sense, what God is telling Yitzchak then, he is creating the association with the Akedah that was all, where also the words asher omar eilecha were used in order to tell Yitzchak, you are an ola tamima, you were brought upon the altar, therefore you cannot leave Eretz Yisrael. Asher omar eilecha also means that where there may very well be good reason why God's word should not be fulfilled, either because Shmuel doesn't want to do it, Avram of course has to take his one and only son, Yitzchak sees that he can't live here, he must leave. Asher omar eilecha means this is gezera, this is a decree. I'm telling you what I am going to say to you. And it's more than that. Shmuel is being told something more, and we're going to see that in the course of this parak. What was it that Shmuel had told Shaul? Hine shmoa mizevach tov. Listening to God is better than bringing a sacrifice. Why didn't you listen? God now is telling Shmuel, you're going to have to listen to the place. Go to the place Asher Omar Eilecha that I will tell you. And what are you going to do over there? Umoshachta li. The word li is an extremely important word. The Medrash says the following. We need the Medrash over here. The Medrash says, Umoshachta li melech. Umoshachta li, you shall anoint for me et Asher Omar Eilecha. And the fact is that we had that earlier. What did it say in the first pasuk? Go to Yishai Beit Halachmi Ki Ra'iti B'bonav, because I saw amongst his sons Li Melech. The word Li is an important word. It says Li, a king unto me, U'moshachto Li, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I will tell you, says the Medrash, the following. Sheyehei Melech L'shmi, I want a king who's going to be a king for my name. Shekol makom shenemar li, wherever it says li, harei zekayom la'olam ula'olmei olamim, wherever it says li, that creates a relationship between the person and God, and therefore he becomes inextricably intertwined with God, and therefore is guaranteed permanence and eternity. Where else does it say li in Torah? My students, I'm so proud of you. You're right. First it says, most of them are in Bahalotcha. God says, Esfali Shivim Zakenim, gather unto me 70 Zakenim. This means the establishment of Gedolei Yisrael who are going to pass them for Klal Yisrael. By the Kohanim it says, V'chi Hanu, they should act as Kohanim Li. By the Levim it says, V'hoyu Li HaLevim, the Levim shall be unto me. By Klal Yisrael it says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael, the children of Israel are unto me. About Eretz Yisrael it says, Ki li ha'aretz, the land is mine. Lo timacha, you can't sell the land forever. Ki li ha'aretz, and anybody who thinks otherwise is making a terrible, terrible mistake. And about Yerushalayim it says, Ha'ir asher bocharti li, the city that I chose unto me. Bacharti can also come from the word to vote, the city that I voted unto me. B'migdash, by the Beis HaMikdash it says, V'osu li migdash v'shachanti b'talcham. And then finally the Medrash says, the same thing is true of Malchut Beit David, because by Malchut Beit David it says, Kira'iti b'vanav li melech. I saw amongst the sons of Yishai, I saw somebody who's going to be a king unto me. All right, so umoshachti li, you should anoint unto me. So, all right, he comes to the house of. He comes to the house of Yishai in Beit Lechem. He brings the Shemen Mishchat Kodesh, and that Shemen Mishchat Kodesh is Shemen Mishchat Kodesh that was Li, was to me. Says the Ramban in Parashat Ki Tisa, Limshar bo Mashiach Kachi, that oil has been set aside to anoint my Holy One. Asher Evhar by who I'm going to choose, L'dodo Tekem, for all generations. V'lo Yitein Al-Zor, you're not permitted to use that oil of anointment, you're not permitted to use upon somebody else, Asher Einenuli, who's not specifically for me. Therefore, the only ones who can be anointed with it are the Melachim and the Kohanim Gedolim, because both kings and high priests are called Mashiach Hashem. Alright, so he comes to the house of Yishai in Beit Lehem. Let's try and read the Pesukim and see what's here, what's missing. It's going to be very fascinating. Let's take a look. Further. Vayas Shmuel at Asher Diber Hashem. Shmuel did that which God said. In a sense, as you read this, it leaves us with the impression that he's doing it because he has to do it. He's not doing it because he wants to do it. He did as Hashem Diber Hashem. Vayavol Beit Lechem, he came to Beit Lechem. Vayecherdu Ziknei Ha'ir Likrato, and the elders of the city trembled before him. In a sense, the trembling means there was a sense of excitement and maybe even concern. What indeed is it that Shmuel is doing here? He seems to arrive in the city unannounced. Vayomer, Shalom Bo'echa. Shalom Bo'echa could be read as a question. Do you come in peace? Is everything okay? You know, sort of you see, you get a call from somebody who hasn't spoken to you in a long time, or somebody just comes walking around, the first thing that you ask is everything all right? Shalom Ba'echa. This is the Vayecha, do they don't understand? What is it? Why all of a sudden has Shmuel come to Beit Lechem? Vayomer, and he said Shalom. Yes, everything is well. According to the Ralbag that we learned last week, what is stranger about his coming is not merely the fact that Shmuel comes, but he comes to Beit Lechem carrying a glad bakar be'adol. He's carrying the calf in his hand. Who are the ones that come trembling before him? Ziknei ha'ir, the elders of the city. You may recall, I told you last week what the Ralbag says. The Ralbag says that there was reason for Shmuel to come because a dead person had been found on the road, and therefore an egla harufa has to be brought. Who brings an egla harufa? Who are the ones that are responsible? The pasuk says the ziknei ha'ir, the elders of the city. So they wonder, what is it that has brought him here? What brings him here with an egla bakar in his hand? So he says, l'zbach l'ashem bati, has come to bring a sacrifice to God. He's caught you, prepare yourself, u'batem iti bazara, and come with me to the sacrifice. Vayikadesh et Yishai v'ed bonav, he invited, prepared Yishai and his children, vayikro lahem lazarach, and he called them to the sacrifice. Vayihi bevoam, and it came to pass when they came, vayaret Eliyav, and he saw Eliyav, vayomer, and he said, ach, Neged Hashem Mishicho. Two ways to look at this. He may look at Eliyav, and Eliyav seems to be material for Malchus. Ah, before God, he says, stands the Anointed One. Some of the Mefarshim says that when he sees Eliyav, he's disappointed. Eliyav does not seem to be the one who could be Melech the way Shaul was. And he seems to be telling God, Neged Hashem, you know who should be standing before God? Mashiach, the one who I have already anointed. In what way is Eliyav better than Shaul? Vayomer Hashem al Shmuel, God said to Shmuel, Al tabet el marehu vel divar komato ki ma'astihu. Now, we have to understand this. In, there are two possibilities. I said two pshatim in Ach Neged Hashem Mashiach. One is that Ach Neged Hashem Mashiach is talking about Eliyav. It's a description of Eliyav, the son of Yishai. The second pshat was Ach Neged Hashem Mashiach is Shmuel talking about Shaul. According to the second pshat that he's talking about Shaul, that he still remains insistent that Shaul should be king. So then obviously, we can understand what God says to Shmuel. Don't take a look at Mar'ehu ve'el givar komato and the fact that he's tall. Who was the one that was tall? Shaul was the one who was called. Kimastil, because I have disdained him and rejected him. About whom did God say? About Shaul. It could also be, but it could also be that he's talking about Eliyahu. Eliyahu seems to be the one. And maybe Eliyahu also is tall and imposing, and he seems externally to be charismatic. And God says, no, this one also is not to be accepted. And here comes the... here comes, in a sense, the words of admonishment. God chastises Shmuel. Ki lo asher yireh ha'adam. It's not the way man sees it. Ki ha'adam yireh le'enayim, v'ashem yireh le'levav. Because man sees with his eyes, and God sees to the heart. Famous pasuk. We have to talk about this pasuk. By the way, another famous pasuk that I learned with you 2 weeks ago was on TV last night, quite late at night. I had a meeting most of the night, and I just they were interviewing Kahalani in Tel Aviv just when it was still 50-50, and they didn't know should they celebrate, shouldn't they celebrate, things are looking bad. So Kahalani said about Milo, Al Yithalel Choger Kimifateach. You remember we learned that by Achav? Achav sent a message to Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad says, I'm going to wipe you out. So Achav sends the message, Al Yithalel Choger Kimifateach. The fellow who's going to who's going out to war should not be as high and mighty as the one who has already returned from battle. You know, it ain't over until it's over. Which great man said that? I don't know. But when I heard it, and my wife heard it, she said, yeah, that's the famous pasuk that you talk about. Al Choget Mefateach. This, of course, is also a famous pasuk. Ki lo asher yireh ha'adam. It's not the way man sees things, because man sees things superficially. V'ashem yireh ha'alevav, but God sees to the heart. The Chazal tell us something very beautiful over here, that on some level, God is admonishing Shmuel. It takes us back to an extremely important day in the life of Shmuel. Shmuel had been told by God, Ka'et Machar, at this time tomorrow, the man that all of Israel is looking forward to will come unto you. The next day, as Shmuel is walking through his city, a man comes walking up to him and asks him, where is the home of the Ro'eh, the seer? And the pasuk says, Hashem Anohu, God already answered, even without Shmuel asking the question. It seems that from the moment that he had the prophecy the day before, that at this time tomorrow you're going to meet the one who's going to be anointed as king, Shmuel didn't sleep because of great anticipation. And he was walking the streets of his city looking, who is the one? Who is the one? And then he sees somebody, and God says to him, God answers him even without the question being asked. He says, this is the one. Shaul walks over to him and says, we're looking for the Ro'eh. Says Shmuel. Shmuel's response is, Anochi ha-Ro'eh. I am the Ro'eh. Chazal say, there was something immodest about saying Anochi Haro'eh, I am the seer. And God said, we will see if you are the seer. So somebody who brings a story of a great student of the Magid Mezrich, Mezrich Magid, who was the greatest student of the Baal Shem. The student had been learning by the Mezrich Magid, and after he learned by the Mezrich Magid, he decided he's going home, and on his way home, he stopped on his way by Rav Aaron Mikarlin, the Karlina Rebbe, who had been a fellow student of his, and it was late at night, but he knew the Rebbe is most probably learning. He bangs on the door, there's no answer. He bangs on the window, he wants to get in, and the Rebbe says, who is it that's out there? He says, Anochi. And he assumed, you know, he'd hear his voice and he'd know exactly who's Anochi. The Rebbe doesn't open. He keeps banging and banging. And he says, who's out there? He says, your friend Allah. He says, okay, now you can come in. He tells him, what right did you have to introduce yourself through the door by a word that describes only God? Anochi? Anochi is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. In a sense, there are two things that were a slip of the tongue. Anochi haro'eh. I am the ro'eh. God tells him, let's see how much of a ro'eh you are going to be. Obviously, the Radak makes the comment, the most natural response would have been, what's the most natural response when somebody asks you, where is the ro'eh? Yeah, I think Anochi Haroeh, or maybe Ani. Ani should have been used. But the truth is, it is a natural response, but obviously a Shmuel should not have said that. And therefore, he is told, you think you see, you're going to find out that you don't see. Maybe this is the whole message that God wants. You see Shaul as being the king, I see further that in the ultimate longer view of history, it's David who's going to have to be the king. Yes? Yeah, you're most probably right that it was as a result of the excitement, which says the following. Resh Lakish Amar. Resh Lakish says, Yodeya Haya Moshe Rabbeinu Tadin Hazeh. Moshe Rabbeinu did know the Psak Halacha, Chayv Na Tzlacha. Obviously, what's bothering Resh Lakish is, and this is a problem in all of those cases, and there are a few of them in Torah where it seems that Moshe didn't know. It's very difficult to say that Moshe didn't know, because all of Torah comes to us from Moshe. Kol HaTorah, all of Torah is from Moshe. To say that Moshe didn't know is always something that creates difficulty. So Resh Lakish says, Yodeya Haya Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu did know. He knew. Ella, what happened was, the daughters of Tzlochot went to their local rabbi. Their local rabbi didn't know the question, the answer to the question. He was a sar over 10. From there they went, so he said, listen, you better bring this to somebody who is a teacher of 50. They went to him, he doesn't know, and it went to a teacher of 100 and to 1,000, until finally nobody knew it, and the question was brought before Moshe. He came to the Nisim. All of them said that they don't know. Even some who may have known didn't want to open up their mouths before those who were grading them. They came to Elohu Lefnei Elazar, Amalahem, Harei Moshe Rabbeinu. They came to Elazar, so Elazar says, no, go to Moshe Rabbeinu. Bo Elu Ve'elu, everybody came to Moshe. The Nesiim, the Chamishim, Roh Moshe. Moshe saw that each and every one gave honor to the others. There were those who knew, but they, go to the next one. Omar, so he said, Im Omar Lahem, if I'm going to give them the answer now, Etolat HaGdula, I'm going to take all of this greatness that nobody knew, only me. And the truth is, there are people out there who know the Psak Halacha. But they in a sense, are leaving place for somebody else. Let the next one have the honor of paskening the Shaila. Amar Lahem, so he said to them, Afani, I too, Yesh Gadol Mimeni, there's somebody that's greater than me. Lefichach, therefore, in the presence of all of Israel, by Yakrev Moshe at Mishpatam of Hashem, Moshe brings it before God. In a sense, this is when he does penance, his tshuva for having said, any difficult thing bring to me, leaving the impression as though he is the final authority and there is no greater authority than him. He knows that he has to do tshuva for that, and therefore when the Benot Slochot come, though he knows the answer, and obviously why does Resh Lakish say this? Because Resh Lakish is unwilling to accept the idea that there's something that Moshe Rabbeinu does not know. So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu, in the sense of saying, I too, there is somebody greater than me. All right, so now let's see what happens. There's something very fascinating that happens in the house of Yishai. Vayikra Yishai el Avinadav. Yishai called Avinadav, Vayavireu l'snei Shmuel, and he brought him before Shmuel. Vayomer, he said, Gam bozeh lo bachar Hashem. God tells him, Shmuel tells him, this one opened. And David is not the youngest. Of the eight, he's number seven. The one who's even younger than him is Elihu. Their names are listed in Divrei Hayamim. Why doesn't it occur to anybody? Why doesn't it occur to Yishai in his own? Wait a minute. There's one more. We don't even hear a word. The initiative has to be taken by Shmuel. Shmuel most probably is also confused right now. God has told him that one of the children of Yishai is going to be king. And all of them have been brought before him, and all of them are rejected. Vayom Shmuel Yishai. Shmuel says to Yishai, Hatamu Hana'arim, is this the end of your boys? Vayomer, and he says, O Shoah Hakatan, the small one is still left. Obviously we're going to have to understand what does it mean, the small one, when he's not the smallest of them all. He's number seven. There's a younger one. V'hinei behold, Roa Batzon. He's taking care of the sheep. He's a shepherd. Even at this point, Yishai doesn't take the initiative. Why doesn't Yishai? Sometimes how do you forget about a child? We have another one. I forgot all about it. How does it happen? Huh? Doesn't think it's his son or what?
Didn't expect too much of him. He's the quiet one.
Doesn't expect too much of him. I mean, we're obviously going to have to say something of that sort. Even after he's reminded that he has another one out there and he's out with the sheep, Vayom Shmuel al Yishai, Shmuel has to say to Yishai, Shilcha, go send the Kochenu and bring him. Ki lo nasov ad bo opo, because we will not. The word nasov can have two meanings, and this is going to be an easy one for you to answer. I'm going to, of course, ask you, where else do we have something similar? Lo nasov can mean one of two things. Either they're going to move away, he's not moving from here until this one comes, or we're not going to sit down to the meal. Who else doesn't sit down to a meal? Eliezer. He says, they put food before him, and Eliezer says, I'm not going to eat until I have completed the mission for which I have come. It's amazing that it doesn't even occur to Yishai to go send somebody until Shmuel says, Shilcha v'kachanu, send and bring him. Ki lo nasov ad bo opo, v'yishlach, and he sent, v'yivyeyu, and he brought him, v'hu admoni. What Chazal has to say over here, we'll only be able to begin now. He is red, im yifei einayim, with beautiful eyes, v'tov roi. Now, admoni can either mean, it can mean his hair, or it can mean ruddy cheeks. Obviously, there is a relationship here with another admoni. Who is the other admoni? That's next week's seder. He's going to come out admoni red. And as he sees him red, the Medrash says that the Shmuel becomes frightened. Admoni represents the idea of a person who's cruel and tough, and he's a killer. But then there's another problem, the eyes. The eyes are soft, they're beautiful, there's something very special about his eyes. The Tov Roi. Tov Roi means that his whole appearance is good. Vayomer Hashem, and God said, Kum Mishachayu, arise and anoint him Kizehu, because he is the one. There's also something you have to notice. You have to notice, all of the others, their names had been mentioned. He brought the first one was Eliav, and then he brought Avinadav, and then he brought Shama, but we haven't heard David's name mentioned. We're only talking about a him or an it or a something. He doesn't have a name, and we've already been talking about him a number of sukkim. Are the boys finished? Are there no more boys left? Oh yeah, there is one. In a sense, isn't that what David HaMelech says in L'David Hashem Odi, Ki Ovi V'imi Azavuni V'Hashem Yasveini. My father and my mother, they sort of
Forgot about him.
Ignored him. Vashem Yasfeni, God is the one who gathered me in. But we're going to have to understand, why do they forget about him? The truth is, what you really have to become, if you want to understand the next, well, I'd say the next 10 prakim, we have to become Tilim Zugas. There are many, many psukim in Tehillim where David talks about himself. And all of those psukim in Tehillim are going to find their expression in the story of David. There's a place where he says, Kizor Nechshavti, I was considered like a stranger. He was the odd man out. He was the blood. Sheep is good. Incidentally, none of them were shepherds. The only one in the house who was a shepherd was him. In a sense, he was a shepherd, so that he was off. He was a loner. He was a loner. He was a stranger. The Medrash says that when he was but a young boy, he had all sorts of visions, and he told. Well, in a sense, he's Yosef-like. He tells his brothers and his father that someday when he grows up, he's going to destroy the Plishtim, and he's going to kill a big Plishti. He's going to go out there, and he's going to do great things for the Klal Yisrael. There was something about him that made him strange, and sort of, what? You didn't hide him in the closet, so where did you hide him? You sent him out over there, and he's. When God says to Shmuel, Ki ha'adam yireh la'einayim, man sees with his eyes, v'ha'elokim yireh la'levav, and God sees to the heart, he's talking not only about Shmuel. Do you know who he's talking about? I think he's talking about everybody in the family. The whole family of Yishai don't see the tremendous potential of a David. On the contrary, on some small level, we have that too. We always, most of us, many of us, I'd say many of us, we see our children at different times in their development, and we think to ourselves, from this one, what can you do? Nothing is going to become of them. Right? And then, they grow up and they surprise you, right? It happens to us so often that they surprise us. There are difficult, there are periods of development where it's difficult. Everybody goes through difficult periods. And we don't go through difficult periods in our own process of growth in adulthood. David was the odd man out. We will quote many psukim in Tehillim where he was. They didn't understand him. They didn't understand him. So the best thing is, he most probably created a great deal of tension within the family. As long as he was out in the field with the sheep, it was fine. When he came home, there were problems. So that Yishai doesn't see. You know what it also means? Another idea that we're going to have to develop. The idea that Malchus Beis David can be concealed. The Gemara says about Mashiach, that Mashiach is going to come, the Hesach Hadas. The Hesach Hadas is at a moment that you're not even expecting it. It may even be a person who it would never occur to you, this is Mashiach. And that's going to be Mashiach. David HaMelech is the classic example. Nobody pays much attention to him. And most probably, Shmuel now is wondering even more. What does Shmuel now see? He now sees Admoni, im yifei naim, v'tov roi. He sees all sorts of contradictory things in this David. Admoni represents the ability to be strong, and even to the point of cruelty. And Yifei Naim represents warmth, a delicate, sensitive soul. You read Tehillim. Do you know what you get when you read Tehillim? One of the most sensitive, poetic souls of all. On the other hand, David HaMelech, when he has to go out to war, is able to wage war. Melech Yisrael has to have both of these qualities. They're contradictory, but the same person has to be Admoni. We are going to continue on. Most probably it's a collect. This is some way to end the shiur. he is Admoni and he's Yafei Einayim, which means there are contradictory ideas in him. He is... Alright, you know what? We'll finish talking about Dovid HaMelech next week. Yes?
The primary thing that Shaul failed on.
Very good. Very good. He said that Shaul's failure was he could not be the Admoni that he had to be. He couldn't be the... to act with decisiveness and cruelty. Alright, there are fascinating things coming. Emir Hashem will continue next week. And what I would suggest, you know what I would really suggest? Do homework. How about finishing this parak? Go to the end of the parak so that I can talk about the, you know, even that's not too much homework. Finish the parak, okay? Alright, finish the parak so we'll be able to talk. If you know the text well, we'll be able to deal with it at greater length.